This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Roshan and Noel. It's 7:37 a.m. Monday, the 10th of August, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where Wang Xiaoning will be speaking with Chu Ni Wang, Managing Director of QES Group.
So over the years, demand for semiconductors have surged due to cloud computing, and the trend for faster computers will obviously continue as 5G is adopted. So this one local, quite unassuming semicon maker, QES, has seen its share price triple since the low of mid-March to higher than pre-COVID level. So I guess I'm really interested to know, will this optimism continue as tensions between the US and China persist?
Well, we'll find out during the breakfast grill, hopefully later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin, so be sure to stay tuned. But right now, we're turning our attention overseas because over the weekend, hundreds of protesters took to Bangkok's streets to protest against the arrest of two pro-democracy activists. So this latest outburst of anger in a movement increasingly vocal in its demand for reforms in Thailand. Now, the kingdom has seen near daily rallies in recent weeks, with mainly young protesters denouncing the government of a former military leader, Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha.
Two protest leaders were arrested on Friday on 8 charges, including sedition and breaking coronavirus rules about gatherings. Human rights lawyer Anuar Noonpa and student activist Panupong Jadok were released on bail Saturday afternoon on conditions they would not repeat the alleged offences. But the bail decision did not deter a flash mob of around 1,000 protesters taking over a major junction in the Thai capital. And crowds cheered and applauded the speakers on stage in the pouring rain. Seems like quite a movie scene there. Many holding up the three-finger protest salute inspired by the Hunger Games movie franchise.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of underlying anger there, right? I mean, it's just not economic, but it's also, just their political voice.
Absolutely. So for more on this morning, we have on the line with us Dr. James Gomez, Regional Director at Asia Centre, to help us shed some light on the subject. James, thank you for joining us. Now, despite these two protest leaders being arrested, the protests in Thailand haven't lost any steam. So can we expect it to continue and even perhaps grow in the coming days and weeks?
Yes, certainly. I think there are two variables that we need to keep our eyes on. First is the extended emergency decree that was put in place in March. It's been over 4 months now, and the emergency decree has been extended. And as long as it keeps extending, I think the protesters will have something to push against, and that's one indicator. The second would be the economy, because the economy has been weak and closed and expected to have a huge contraction this year. You will find that part of the youth voices and why they're coming out is that they do not see any prospects in the economy. So given these two variables, I think the eyes are on the Prayut government and to give it a good push. So we can expect this to continue, and we can also expect the government to push back.
So you mentioned about economic reasons, but Anuar Noonpa, who's one of the protest leaders, he made an extremely rare call for reforms to the powerful monarchy. How strong is that call, for reforms in your view?
Yeah, I think the protest leaders and the protest generally will have to figure out what is strategic for them. Because as far as analysts are concerned, they look at that push, for the reform of the monarchy from recent comments that has come out from the monarchy itself, who has expressed that perhaps, the Les Majestés law should not be used. And we have seen some kind of shift to move away from using that particular law, especially with dealing with, political process. Protests and political argumentation and criticism. So we see that. I think the more interesting part is really what other tools would be used in place of the Les Majestés. And I think the protests and the way the government have pushed back seems to give us some indication. I think there are two tools that they are moving towards use. One is negative campaigning or hate speech. You see government officials increasingly using hate speech or a negative spin against the protesters, calling them un-Thai, calling them unsophisticated. So that's one way. And the second thing is really the use of the Disease Control Act and the Emergency Decree combined as another tool in dealing with it. So we can certainly see a shift in how the tools of the government are being used.
Do you think the society at large do want monarchy reforms?
I think that is not something that comes out very clearly in Thailand because it's such a divisive issue. You certainly have two camps, and whenever you speak about the monarchy, you will always have the pro-monarchy camp. I think what's underlining Thai society is really the great financial and economic divide. You certainly have such a great gap that people are hurting, and more so because, you know, the tourism, the economy has come to a standstill, and there's a lot of gap. And I don't think the state has done enough. It has done some things, but perhaps not enough for the long haul in terms of, you know, how the working class or even the underclass can survive this downturn in the economy.
And what can we expect from the state, the Thai government, in terms of dealing with this issue? Do you have any expectations of in terms of how they may contain the unrest?
In terms of the unrest, I think they would continue to put the negative spin on the protesters and will use the emergency decree or if not the Disease Control Act to deal with them. But I think it's how they will deal with the economy that's key, because Thailand has still been quite slow in terms of opening up. There is also, of course, resentment from society, concern about opening up in case there would be infections rising because they are imported from abroad. So until such time Thailand is able to open up its economy to the external world, I think we are going to have this problem in Thailand.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, James. That was Dr. James Gomez, Regional Director at Asia Centre, giving us some insight into the protests that are currently happening in Thailand. Now, James expects the Thai government to utilise more tools in their arsenal, in not just the lesser majesté laws, to perhaps put some pressure on protesters. But I think it's interesting as well what this upsurge in the protests says about the military control over Thailand. Because, I mean, last year, Thailand went to the polls for the first time in what felt like a very long time, but it wasn't an actual democratic exercise, was it? So this protest says that to me that people are perhaps starting to push back, and it'll be interesting how the government of Thailand evolves in the future.
Yeah, this bit of pushback, especially this year, this new wave began in February after a popular opposition political party was ordered to dissolve. And Lynn, the last time they had the election was, I think, before the 2019 election was the first one since the military seized power in 2014, so a five-year gap there.
Yeah, so I think also from the protesters' point of view, they want to win the PR war, right? The public relations war. They want to also garner support. And the best way to do this is to try to show that you want to do it peacefully. And so I think, you know, things like, you know, drawing on popular culture like the Hunger Games. And I think there was also one protest where they brought out teddy bears. So now how can you treat people with carrying teddy bears? I mean, how can you treat them violently, right? So you know, if I were the protesters, I would do these things as a way you want to win that public relations.
It's all about getting the messaging across, right? So this is also a developing story, and we'll be keeping a close watch on it. But right now we are going to be taking a look at the political developments here on our home front, speaking with Oi Sun, a senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.